in some ways. In some ways, it might have made her into just another version of that thing in the library. It made her sick to even think about it. No matter what your magic might be, it saved more lives than his that night. Dorian shifted.
I still need to learn to control it, or else it might happen anywhere, in front of anyone. I've gotten lucky so far, but I don't think that luck will last.
Does anyone else know? Kaol? Roland?
No. Kaol doesn't know, and Roland just left with Duke Parrington. They're going to Morath for a few months to oversee the situation in Eelway.
It all had to be tied together. The king, the magic, Dorian's power, the word marks, even the creature. The prince went to his bed and hoisted up the mattress, pulling out a concealed book. Not the best hiding place, but a valiant effort.
I've been looking through the genealogy charts for Otterland's noble families. We've hardly had any magic users in the past few generations.
There were so many things she could tell him, but if she did, it would just result in too many questions. So Selena merely studied the pages he displayed for her, flipping through one after another.
Wait, she said.
The puncture wounds in her shoulder gave a burst of pain when she lifted her hand to the book. She scanned the page he'd stopped on, her heart pounding as another clue about the king and his plans slipped into place. She let him continue on.
See,
Dorian said, closing the book.
I'm not quite sure where it comes from.
He was still watching her, warily. She met his gaze and said quietly,
10 years ago, many of the people I loved were executed for having magic.
Pain and guilt flickered in his eyes. But she went on.
So you'll understand when I say that I have no desire to see anyone else die for it, even the son of the man who ordered those deaths.
I'm sorry,
he said quietly.
So what do we do now?
Eat a giant meal, see a healer, take a bath. In that order. He snorted and playfully nudged her with a knee. She leaned forward, clasping her hands between her legs.
We wait.
We keep an eye on that door to make sure no one tries to go in and
just take it day by day.
He took one of her hands in his own, staring toward the window.
Day by day.
Chapter 45. Selena didn't get a meal, or take a bath, or see a healer for her shoulder. Instead, she hurried to the dungeon, not even looking at the guards that she passed. Exhaustion ripped at her, but fear kept her moving, almost sprinting down the stairs.
They want to use me. They tricked me, Caltaine had said.
And in Dorian's book of Otterland's noble lineages, the Rompier family had been listed as one with a strong magical line, supposedly vanished 2 generations ago.
Sometimes I think they brought me here, Caltaine had said. Not to marry Parrington, but for another purpose.
Brought Caltaine here, the way Cain had been brought here. Cain of the White Fang Mountains, where powerful shamans had long ruled the tribes. Her mouth went dry as she strode down the dungeon hallway to Caltaine's cell. She stopped in front, staring through the bars.
It was empty.
All that was left inside was Selena's cloak, discarded in the kicked-up hay, as if Caltaine had struggled against whoever had come to take her. Selena was at the guard station a moment later, pointing down the hall. Where is Caltaine? Even as she said it, a memory began to clear, a memory hazed by days spent sedated in the dungeons. The guards looked at each other, then at her torn and bloody clothes, before one said,
The Duke took her, to Morath, to be his wife.
She stalked out of the dungeon, heading for her rooms.
Something is coming, Caltaine had whispered. And I am to greet it. My headaches are worse every day, and full of all those flapping wings.
Selena nearly stumbled on a step.
Roland has been suffering from awful headaches lately,
Dorian told her a few days ago. And now Roland, who shared Dorian's Haveliard blood, had gone to Morath too.
Gone or been taken.
Selena touched her shoulder and felt the open, bloody wounds beneath. The creature had been clawing at its head as though it were in pain, and when it had shoved through the door, For those last few seconds it had been frozen in place, she had seen something human in its warped eyes. Something that looked so relieved, so grateful for the death she gave him.
"Who were you?"
she whispered, recalling the human heart and the man-like body of the creature under the library.
"And what did he do to you?"
But Selena had a feeling she already knew the answer. Because that was the other thing the word keys could do. The other power that the word marks controlled. Life.
"They hear wings in the Farian Gap,"
Nehemia had said.
"Our scouts do not come back."
The king was twisting far worse things than mortal men.
Far, far worse things.
But what did he plan to do with them? With the creatures, with the people like Roland and Caltaine? She needed to learn how many of the word keys he had found, and where the others might be. The next night, Selena examined the door to the library catacombs, her ears straining for any hint of sound on the other side.
Nothing.
The bloody word marks had turned flaky, but beneath the crust, as if welded onto the metal, was the dark outline of each mark. From high, high above, the muffled bellow of the clock tower sounded. It was 2 in the morning. How did no one know that the tower sat atop an ancient dungeon that served as the king's own secret chamber? Selena glowered at the door in front of her. Because who would even think about that as a possibility? She knew she should go to bed, but she'd been unable to sleep for weeks now, and saw no point in even trying anymore. It was why she'd come down here, to do something while sorting through her jumbled thoughts. She flipped the dagger in her right hand, angling it, and gave a light tentative tug on the door. It held. She paused, listening for any signs of life, and yanked harder. It didn't budge. Selena pulled a few more times, going so far as to brace a foot against the wall, but the door remained sealed. When she was at last convinced that nothing was getting through the door, in either direction, she loosed a long breath. No one would believe her about this place, just like no one would believe her wild, highly unlikely story about the word keys. To find the word keys, she'd first have to solve the riddle, and then convince the king to let her go for a few months. Years. It would take careful manipulation, especially since it seemed likely that he already had a key. But which one?
"They hear wings."
Yellowleg said that only combined could the three open the actual word gate. But alone, each still wielded immense power. What other sorts of terrors could he create? If he ever got all three word keys, what might he bring into Aurelia to serve him? Things were already stirring on the continent. Unrest was brewing. She had a feeling that he wouldn't tolerate it for long. No, it would only be a matter of time before he unleashed whatever he'd been creating upon them all and crush all resistance forever. Selena looked at the sealed door, her stomach turning. A half-dried pool of blood lay at the base of the door, so dark it looked like oil. She crouched, swiping a finger through the puddle. She sniffed at it, almost gagged at the reek, and then rubbed her finger against the pad of her thumb. It felt as oily as it looked. She got to her feet and reached into her pocket, looking for something to wipe off her fingers. She drew out a handful of papers. Scraps was more like it. Bits of things that she'd carried around to study whenever she had a spare moment. Frowning, she shifted through them to sort out which one she could spare to use as a makeshift handkerchief. One was just a receipt for a pair of shoes, which she must have accidentally tucked into her pocket that morning. And another. Selena lifted that one closer. "Ah, Time's Rift," had been written there. She'd scribbled it down when she'd been trying to solve the eye riddle, when everything in the tomb had felt like a great secret, one giant clue. Some help that had been, just another dead end. Cursing under her breath, she used it to wipe the grime off her fingers. The tomb still didn't make sense, though. What did the trees on the ceiling and the stars on the floor have to do with the riddle? The stars had led to the secret hole, but they could just as easily have been on the ceiling to do that. Why make everything backward? Would Brannon have been so foolish as to put all the answers in one place? She uncrumpled the scrap of paper, now stained with the creature's oily blood.
Ah, time's rift.
There was no inscription at Gavin's feet, only Elena's. And the words made little sense. What if they were only just logical enough to imply one thing, but really mean another? Everything in the tomb was backward, rearranged, the natural order in reverse, to hint that things were jumbled, misarranged. So the thing that should have been concealed was right in the open. But like everything else, its meaning was warped. And there was one person, one being, who could possibly tell her whether she was right. Chapter 46. It's an anagram, she panted as she reached the tomb. Mort opened an eye. Clever, wasn't it? To hide it right where everyone could see? Selena eased open the door just wide enough to slip inside. The moonlight was strong, and her breath caught in her throat as she saw precisely where it fell. Trembling, she stopped at the foot of the sarcophagus and traced her fingers over the stone letters. Tell me what it means. He paused, long enough for her to take a breath to start yelling at him, but then he said, I am the first. And that was all the confirmation she needed, the first word key of the three. Selena moved around the stone body, her eyes on Elena's sleeping face. As she looked upon those fine features, she whispered the words. In grief, he hid one in the crown of her he loved so well. To keep with her where she lay down, inside the starry cell. She lifted shaking fingers to the blue jewel in the center of the crown. If this was indeed the word key, what would she do with it? Would she be forced to destroy it? Where could she hide it so no one else would discover it? The questions swirled. Threatening with all the difficulty they offered to send her running back to her rooms, but she steeled herself. She'd consider everything later. I will not be afraid, she told herself. The gem in the crown glowed in the moonlight, and she gingerly pushed against one side of the jewel. It didn't move. She pushed again, staying closer to the side, digging her nail into the slight crease between the gem and the stone rim. It shifted, and turned over to reveal a small compartment beneath. It was no larger than a coin, and no deeper than a knuckle's length. Selena peered in. The moonlight revealed only gray stone. She stuck a finger inside, scraping every surface. There was nothing there, not even a shard. A shot of cold ran down her spine. So he truly has it, she whispered. He found the key before me, and he's been using its power for his own agenda. He was barely 20 when he found it, Mort said softly. Strange, bellicose youth, always poking about in forgotten places where he wasn't wanted, reading books no one his age, or any age, should read. Though, Mort added, that does sound awfully like someone I know. And you somehow forgot to tell me until now? I didn't know what it was then. I thought he merely took something. It wasn't until you read the riddle that I suspected. It was a good thing he was made of bronze, otherwise she'd have smashed his face in. Do you have any suspicions about what he might have done with it? She turned the gem back over as she fought her rising terror. How should I know? He never said anything to me, though I'll admit I didn't condescend to speak with him. He came back here once he was king, but he only poked around for a few minutes and then left. I suspect he was looking for the other two keys. How did he discover it was here? She asked, stepping away from the marble figure. The same way you did, though far faster. I suppose that makes him cleverer than you. Do you think he has the other two? She said, eyeing the treasure along the far wall, the stand where Damaris was displayed. Why hadn't he taken Damaris, one of the greatest heirlooms of his house? If he had the others, don't you think that our doom would have come upon us already? You think he doesn't have all of the keys? She asked, beginning to sweat despite the cold. Well, Brannan once told me that if you have all three keys, then you have control over the word gate. I think it's fair to assume the current king would have tried his hand at conquering another realm, or enslaved creatures to conquer the rest of ours, if he had all three.
Word save us if that happens.
Word? Mort laughed. You're pleading with the wrong force. If he controls the word, you're going to have to find another means of saving yourself. And don't you think it's too much of a coincidence that magic stopped as soon as he began his conquest?
How magic stopped? He used the word keys to stifle magic. All magic, she added, but his own.
And by extension, Dorian's. She swore, then asked, So you think he might also have the second word key? I don't think a person could eliminate magic with only one, though I might be wrong. No one really knows what they're capable of.
Selena pressed the heels of her palms to her eyes. Oh, gods.
This was what Elena wanted me to learn. And now what am I supposed to do? Go hunt the third one down? Steal the other two from him?
Nehemia. Nehemia, you had to have known. You must have had a plan. But what were you going to do?
The now familiar abyss inside of her stretched wider. There was no end to it, that hollow ache. No end at all. If the gods had bothered to listen, she would have traded her life for Nehemia's. It would have been such an easy choice to make. Because the world didn't need an assassin with a coward's heart. It needed someone like Nehemia. But there were no gods left to bargain with. Not one to offer her soul to in exchange for another moment with Nehemia. Just one more chance to talk to her, to hear her voice.
Yet, maybe she didn't need the gods to talk to Nehemia.
Cain had summoned the Ritterak, and he certainly hadn't possessed a word key.
No,
Nehemia had said there were spells to open a temporary portal, just long enough for something to slip through. If Cain could do that, and if Selena could use the marks to freeze the catacombs creature in place and permanently seal a door, then couldn't marks open a portal to yet another realm? Her chest tightened. If there were other realms, realms where the dead dwelled, in torment or in peace, who was to say that she couldn't speak to Nehemia? She could do it. No matter the cost, it would only be for a moment. Just long enough to ask Nehemia where the king was keeping the keys, or how to find the third, and to find out what else Nehemia might have known. She could do it. There were other things she needed to tell Nehemia, too. Words she needed to say, truths she needed to confess. And that goodbye, that final goodbye that she hadn't been allowed to make. Selena took Damaris off its stand again.
Mort, how long do you think a portal can stay open?
Whatever you are thinking, whatever you are going to do right now, stop it. But Selena was already walking out of the tomb. He didn't understand, couldn't understand. She had lost and lost and lost, been denied countless goodbyes. But not this time. Not when she could change all of that, even for a few minutes. This time it would be different. She'd need the Walking Dead, another dagger or two, some candles, and space. More space than the tomb could offer. The drawings that Cain had made had taken up a fair amount of room. There was a large passage one level up in the secret tunnels, a long hallway and a set of doors she'd never dared open. The hallway was wide, its ceiling high. Enough room to cast the spell, for her to open a portal into an other world. Dorian knew he was dreaming. He was standing in an ancient stone chamber he'd never seen before, facing a tall, crowned warrior. The crown was familiar, somehow, but it was the man's eyes that stunned him into inaction. They were his own eyes, sapphire, blazing. The similarities ended there. The man had shoulder-length dark brown hair, an angular, almost cruel face, and was at least a hand taller than Dorian himself. And he carried himself like a king.
Prince,
the man said, his golden crown gleaming. There was something feral in his eyes, as if the king was more accustomed to roaming the wilderness than walking these marble halls.
You must awaken.
Why? Dorian asked, not sounding very princely at all. Strange green symbols were glowing on the gray stones, similar to the symbols Selena had made in the library. What was this place?
Because a line that should never be crossed is about to be breached. It puts this entire castle in jeopardy, and the life of your friend.
His voice wasn't harsh, but Dorian had a sense it could turn that way if provoked. Which, judging by that ancient wildness, the arrogance and challenge in the king's eyes, seemed like a fairly easy thing to do. Dorian said, "What are you talking about? Who are you? Don't waste time with pointless questions." Yes, this king wasn't one to mince words at all. "You must go to her rooms. There is a door hidden behind a tapestry. Take the third passage on the right. Go now, prince, or lose her forever." And somehow, Dorian didn't think twice about the fact that Gavin, first king of Otterlin, had spoken to him. As he awoke, yanked on his clothes, grabbed his sword belt, and sprinted from his tower. Chapter 47. The cut on her arm throbbed, but Selena kept her hand steady as she dipped her finger again into her blood and traced the word mark on the wall, copying the symbols in the book with perfect precision. They formed an archway, a door, and her blood gleamed in the light of the candles she had brought. It had to be perfect. Each symbol had to be flawless, or else it wouldn't work. She kept pressing on the wound to keep it from clotting. Not everyone could harness the marks. No, the Walking Dead said there had to be power in the blood to do it. Cain had clearly had some trace of power. That must be why the king had rounded up Caltaine and Roland, too. He'd used the word keys to suppress magic, but he must have some way of harnessing the innate power in someone's blood, and the word marks must be able to access that power, too. She drew another symbol, nearly finished with the archway. Their power could warp things. It had warped Cain, but it had also allowed him to summon the Ritterak and gain even more power for himself. Thank the word, Cain was dead. There was one mark left to draw, the one that would bring her the person she so desperately needed to see, if only for a moment. It was complex, a weave of loops and angles. She took out her chalk and practiced on the floor until she got it right, then etched it in blood on the wall. Nehemia's name in word mark form. She examined the door she'd drawn and got to her feet, the book held in her clean hand. She cleared her throat and began to read the words on the page. She didn't know the language. Her throat burned and contracted, as if fighting the sounds, but she panted through it, the words making her teeth ache like she'd just come in from the cold and was drinking something hot. And then the final words were out, her eyes watering. No wonder this kind of power fell out of favor. The symbols written in her blood began to glow green, one after another, until the whole archway was a line of light. The stones within its borders darkened, 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 then disappeared. The blackness within the green archway seemed to reach out for her. It had worked. Holy gods, it had worked. Was that what waited for her when she died? Nehemia had gone here? Nehemia? She whispered, her throat raw from the spell. There was nothing. Nothing there. Just a void. Selena looked at the book, then to the wall and the symbols she'd drawn. She'd written it correctly. The spell was right. Nehemia? She whispered toward that endless dark. There was no response. Perhaps it needed time. The book hadn't specified how long it would take. Maybe Nehemia had to travel through whatever this realm was. So Selena waited. The longer she stared into that endless void, the more it seemed to stare back. It was just like that dream. The one where she was standing on the edge of that ravine. You are nothing more than a coward. Please, Selena whispered into the dark. There was a sudden yelp from far, far above, and Selena whirled toward the stairs at the end of the hall. Moments later, faster than should be possible, Fleetfoot bounded down the steps, racing for her. Not for her, Selena realized as she beheld the wagging tail, the panting, the yip of what could only be joy. Not for her, because... Selena looked toward the portal. At the same moment, Fleetfoot skidded to a halt. And then everything stopped as she beheld the shimmering figure standing just on the other side of the portal. Fleetfoot lay on the ground, tail still wagging, whining softly. The edges of Nehemia's body rippled and blurred, fracturing with some sort of inner light. But her face was clear. Her face was... it was her face. Selena sank to her knees. She felt the warmth of her tears before she realized she was crying. "I'm sorry," was all she could say. "I'm so sorry." But Nehemia remained on the other side of the portal. Fleetfoot whined again. "I may not cross this line," Nehemia said gently to the dog. "And neither may you." Her tone shifted, and Selena knew Nehemia was now staring at her. "I thought you were smarter than this." Selena looked up. The light radiating off the princess didn't reach through the glowing portal, as if there truly were some sort of line, some final boundary.
"I'm sorry," Selena whispered again. "I just wanted..."
"There is no time for you to tell me what you long to say. I came here because you need to be warned. Do not open this portal again. The next time you do, I will not be the one who answers your call, and you will not survive the encounter. No one has the right to open the door to this realm, no matter how fierce their grief." She hadn't known, hadn't meant... Fleetfoot pawed at the floor. "Goodbye, my dear friend," Nehemia said to the dog, and began walking into the blackness. Selena just stood there, unable to move or think. Her throat burned with those pent-up words, the words that now choked the life out of her. "Elentia." Nehemia paused to look back at her. The void seemed to be swirling, swallowing her up bit by bit. "You will not understand yet, but I knew what my fate was to be, and I embraced it. I ran toward it, because it was the only way for things to begin changing, for events to be set in motion. But no matter what I did, Elentia, I want you to know that in the darkness of the past 10 years, you were one of the bright lights for me. Do not let that light go out." And before Selena could reply, the princess was gone. There was nothing in the dark, as though Nehemia had never been, as though she'd made it all up.
"Come back," she whispered. "Please, come back."
But the darkness remained the same, and Nehemia was gone. There was a scrape of footsteps, but not from the portal. Rather, it came from her left, from Archer, who stood there gaping.
"I don't believe it," he whispered.
Chapter 48. Selena had Damaris drawn and leveled at Archer in a heartbeat. Fleetfoot growled at him, but kept back, a step behind Selena.
"What are you doing here? It was inconceivable that he'd be here. How had he gotten in?"
"I've been tracking you for weeks," Archer said, eyeing the dog. "Nehemia told me about the passages, showed me the way in. I've been down here almost every night since she died." Selena glanced at the portal. If Nehemia had warned her not to open the portal, then she was certain her friend didn't want Archer seeing it either. She moved to the wall, keeping well away from the blackness as she ran her hand over the glowing green marks, making to wipe them away.
"What are you doing?" Archer demanded.
Selena pointed Damaris at him, furiously wiping at the marks. They didn't budge. Whatever this spell was, it was far more complex than the one that had sealed the library door. Merely swiping away the marks wouldn't undo it. But Archer now stood between her and the book where she had the closing spell flagged. Selena rubbed harder. It was all terribly wrong.
"Stop!"
Archer lunged, getting past her guard with unnatural ease as he grasped her wrist. Fleetfoot barked a ferocious warning, but a sharp whistle from Selena had the dog staying well away. She whirled to Archer, already making to dislocate the arm that held her. But the green light of the portal illuminated the plane of his black wrist, where the sleeve of his tunic had fallen back. A black tattoo of some snake-like creature appeared there. She'd seen that before. Seen it? Selena raised her eyes to his face.
"Do not trust."
She had thought Nehemia's drawing had been of the royal seal, a slightly warped version of the wyvern. But it had actually been of this tattoo. Of Archer's tattoo.
"Do not trust Archer,"
she'd been trying to tell her. Selena shoved back from him, drawing a dagger. She pointed both Damaris and the knife at him. How much had Nehemia hidden from Archer and his contacts? If she didn't trust them, then why had she told them all that she did?
"Tell me how you learned this,"
Archer whispered, his eyes going back to the portal and the darkness beyond.
"Please, did you find the word keys? Is that how you did it?"
"What do you know of the word keys?" she got out.
"Where are they? Where did you find them?"
"I don't have the keys."
"You found the riddle, though," Archer panted. "I let you find that riddle I hid in Davis's office. It took us 5 years to find that riddle, and you must have solved it. I knew you'd be the one to solve it. Nehemia knew, too."
Selena was shaking her head. He didn't know that there had been a second riddle. A riddle with a map to the keys. "The king has at least one key, but where the other two are, I don't know."
Archer's eyes darkened. "We suspected as much. That was why she came here in the first place, to learn whether he'd actually stolen them, and if so, how many."
That was why Nehemia couldn't leave, she realized. Why she'd opted to stay here instead of returning to Eelway. To fight for the one thing that was more important than the fate of her country.
The fate of the world. Of other worlds, too. "I don't have to get on a ship tomorrow."
"We'll tell everyone," Archer breathed.
"We'll tell everyone he has them, and..."
"No! If we reveal the truth, then the king will use the keys to do more damage than you could possibly imagine. We'll lose any chance of stealth we have to find the others."
He took a step closer to her.
Fleetfoot let out another warning growl, but kept her distance.
"Then we'll find where he's keeping the key.
And the others. And then we'll use them to overthrow him. Then we'll create a world of our own making." His voice was building into a frenzy, each word harsher than the next. She shook her head. "I would sooner destroy them than use their power."
Archer chuckled. "She said the same thing. Said they should be destroyed, put back in the gate, if we could discover a way. But what is the point of finding them if we don't use them against him, make him suffer?"
Her stomach turned. There was more he wasn't saying, more that he knew. So she sighed and shook her head, beginning to pace. Archer was silent as she walked. Silent until she halted, as if suddenly understanding. She raised her voice. "He should suffer, for as long as possible. And so should the people who destroyed us, who made us into what we are. Aerobin? Clarice?" She chewed on her lip. "Nehemia could never understand that. She never tried to.
You. You're right. They should be used."
He studied her warily enough that she came closer and tilted her head to the side, contemplating his words, contemplating him. And Archer bought it.
"That was why she left the movement. She left a week before she died. We knew it was a matter of time before she went to the king to expose us all, to use what she'd learned to grant clemency to Eelway, and to annihilate us with the same stroke. She said she'd rather have one all-powerful tyrant than a dozen of them."
Selena said with deadly calm,
"She would have ruined everything for you."
"She almost ruined everything for me, too. She told me to stay away from the word keys. She tried to keep me from solving the riddle."
"Because she wanted to keep the knowledge to herself, for her own gain."
She smiled even as she felt the world shifting beneath her. And she couldn't explain why, or how she began to wonder. But if it was true, she had to get him to admit it. She found herself saying,
"You and I worked for everything we have.
We had everything taken away and used against us, too. Other people can't even begin to fathom the things we were forced to do. I think
that's why I was so infatuated with you when I was a girl. I knew, even then, that you understood.
That you knew what it was like to be raised by people like Aerobin and Clarice, and then sold.
You understood me then."
She willed her eyes to gleam, her mouth to tighten as if she were keeping it from wobbling. Blinking furiously, she murmured,
"But I think I finally understand you now, too."
She reached out a hand as if to grab his, but lowered it, making her face tender and soft and bittersweet.
"Why didn't you tell me sooner?"
We could have been working toward this for weeks. We could have tried to solve the riddle together.
If I'd known what Nehemia was going to do, how she could lie to me again and again.
She betrayed me. In every possible way, Archer.
She lied to my face, made me believe...
Her shoulders slumped. After a long moment, she took a step toward him.
Nehemia was no better than Arobin or Clarice in the end.
Archer, you should have told me about everything. I knew it wasn't Mollison.
He wasn't smart enough.
If you'd told me, I could have taken care of it.
A risk. A leap of faith.
For you. For us. I would have taken care of it.
But Archer gave her a hesitant smile.
She spent so much time complaining about Councilman Mollison that I knew he'd be the easiest one to blame. And thanks to that competition, he already had a connection to Grave.
Grave didn't recognize that you weren't Mollison? She asked as calmly as she could.
You'd be surprised how easily men see what they want to see. A cloak, a mask, and some fine clothes. He didn't think twice.
Oh, gods. Gods. So the night at the warehouse, she went on, raising an eyebrow, an intrigued co-conspirator. Why did you really kidnap Kael?
I had to get you away from Nehemia. And when I took that arrow for you, I knew you'd trust me, if only for that night. I apologize if my methods were harsh. Trick of the trade, I'm afraid.
Trust him, lose Nehemia, and lose Kael.
He had isolated her from her friends, the same thing she'd suspected Roland had wanted to do with Dorian.
And that threat the king received before Nehemia's death.
The threat on her life, Selena said, her lips curling upward.
You planted that threat, didn't you? To show me who my real friends are, who I can really trust.
It was a gamble, just as I'm gambling now. I didn't know whether or not the captain would warn you. Seems I was right.
Why me? I'm flattered, of course, but... You're clever. Why couldn't you have figured out the riddle on your own?
Archer bowed his head.
Because I know what you are, Selena. Arobin told me one night, after you went to Endovir.
She shoved the twinge of genuine pain and betrayal down until it couldn't distract her.
And for our cause to succeed... We need you. I need you.
Some members of the movement are already starting to fight me, to question my leadership. They think my methods are too rough.
That explained the fight she'd seen with that young man. He took a step toward her.
But you... Gods, from the moment I saw you outside the willows, I've known how good we'd be together. The things we'll accomplish.
I know, she said.
Looking into those green eyes, so bright in the matching lights of the portal.
Archer, I know.
He didn't see the dagger coming until she'd shoved it into him. But he was fast, too fast, and turned just in time to have it pierce his shoulder instead of his heart. He staggered back with dazzling speed, wrenching her dagger so swiftly that she lost her grip on the blade and had to brace a hand on the arch of the portal to keep from stumbling. Her bloodied palm slapped against the stones, and a greenish light flared beneath her fingers. A word mark burned, then faded. Not giving herself time to look at what she'd done, she leapt for him with a roar, dropping Damaris to grab two more daggers. He had his own blade up in a moment, dancing away lightly as she sliced for him.
"I'm going to tear you apart piece by piece," she hissed, circling him.
But then a shudder ran through the floor. And something in the void made a sound. A guttural growl. Fleetfoot let out a low warning whine. She rushed toward Selena, pushing against her shins, hurting her toward the stairs. The void shifted, mist now swirling inside, parting long enough to reveal rocky, ashen ground. And then a figure emerged through the mist.
Nehemia?
She whispered. She'd come back. Come back to help, to explain everything. But it was not Nehemia who stepped through the portal.
Kael couldn't sleep.
He stared up at the canopy of his bed, the will he'd seen on Selena's desk glaring in his mind.
He couldn't stop thinking about it.
He'd just let her kick him out of her rooms without telling her what the will meant to him.
and maybe he deserved her hate, but she had to know that he didn't want her money. He had to see her, just long enough to explain. He ran a finger along the scab down his cheek. Rushing footsteps sounded down the hall, and Kaol was already out of bed and half-dressed by the time someone began pounding on his door. The person on the other side got all of one knock in before Kaol flung open the door, a dagger concealed behind his back. He lowered the blade the second he beheld Dorian's face, shining with sweat, but he didn't sheath it. Not when he saw the raw panic in Dorian's eyes, the sword belt and scabbard dangling from the prince's clenched fingers. Kaol believed in trusting his instinct. He didn't think humans had survived for so long without developing some ability to tell when things were wrong. It wasn't magic, it was just gut feeling. And it was Kaol's instinct that told him who this was about before Dorian opened his mouth.
Where? Was all Kaol asked.
Her bedroom, Dorian said.
Tell me everything,
Kaol ordered, hurrying back into his room.
I don't know, I think she's in trouble.
Kaol was already shrugging on a shirt and tunic. Then he stomped his feet into his boots before grabbing his sword.
What kind of trouble? The kind that had me coming to get you instead of the other guards.
That could mean anything, but Kaol knew Dorian was too smart, too aware of how easily words could be overheard in this castle. He sensed the tightening in Dorian's body, a heartbeat before the prince launched into a run and grabbed him by the back of his tunic.
Running, Kaol said under his breath, will attract attention. I already wasted too much time coming to get you, Dorian retorted, but he matched Kaol's brisk but calm pace.
It would take 5 minutes to get to her rooms if they kept this speed, if there were no distractions.
Is anyone hurt?
Kaol asked quietly, trying to keep his breathing even, keep his focus.
I don't know, Dorian said. You have to give me more than that, Kaol snapped.
The leash on his temper strained with each step.
I had a dream,
Dorian said, so soft only he could hear.
I was warned that she was in danger, that she was a danger to herself.
Kaol almost stopped, but Dorian had said it with such conviction.
You think I wanted to come get you?
Dorian said, not looking at him. Kaol didn't reply, but hurried his steps as much as he could without attracting undue attention from the servants and guards still on duty. He could feel his heart hammering through every inch of his body by the time they got to her suite doors. Kaol didn't bother knocking, and nearly took the front door off its hinges as he burst through, Dorian on his heels. He was at her bedroom door in an instant, and didn't bother knocking on it either. But the handle didn't move. The door was locked. He shoved into it again.
Selena?
Her name was more of a growl that rippled out of him. No answer. He fought his rising panic, even as he drew a dagger, even as he listened for any signs of trouble.
Selena!
Nothing. Kaol waited all of a second before he slammed his shoulder into the door. Once.
Twice.
The lock snapped. The door burst open, revealing her empty bedroom.
Holy gods,
Dorian whispered. The tapestry on the wall had been folded back to reveal an open door. A secret stone door that opened into a dark passage. It was how she'd gotten out to kill Grave. Dorian drew the sword from the scabbard.
In my dream, I was told I would find this door.
The prince stepped forward, but Kaol stopped him with an arm. He'd think about Dorian and his clairvoyant dreams later. Much later.
You're not going down there.
Dorian's eyes flashed. Like hell I'm not! As if in answer, a guttural, bone-grinding growl sounded from within. And then a scream. A human scream, followed by a high-pitched bark. Kaol was running for the passage before he could think. It was pitch black, and Kaol almost tumbled down the stairs. But Dorian, close behind, grabbed a candle.
Stay upstairs,
Kaol ordered, still charging down. If he'd had time, he would have locked Dorian in the closet rather than risk bringing the Crown Prince into danger. But what the hell had that growl been? The bark, he knew. The bark was Fleetfoot. And if Fleetfoot was down there... Dorian kept following him.
I was sent here, he said.
Kaol took the stairs by twos and threes, hardly hearing the prince's words.
Had that scream been hers? It had sounded male. But who else could be down here with her?
Blue light flashed from the bottom of the stairs.
What was that?
A roar shook the ancient stones.
That was not human, nor was it Fleetfoot. But what?
They had never found the creature that had been killing the champions. The murders had just stopped. But the damage he'd seen to those corpses.
No, Selena had to be alive.
Please, he begged any gods who would listen. Kaol leapt onto the landing and found three doorways. The blue light had flashed from the right.
They ran.
How had such a massive cavern of chambers been forgotten, and how long had she known about them? He flew down a spiral staircase, and then a new greenish light began shining steadily, and he turned onto a landing to see.
He didn't know where to look first.
At the long hallway, where one wall glowed with an arch of green symbols, or at the
world that showed through the arch, depicting a land of mist and rock.
At Archer, cowering against the opposite wall, chanting strange words from a book held in his hands.
At Selena, prostrate on the floor.
Or at the monster. A tall, sinewy thing, but definitely not human. Not with those unnaturally long fingers tipped with claws, white skin that looked like crumpled paper, a distended jaw that revealed fish-like teeth, and those eyes, milky and tinged with blue. And there was Fleetfoot, hackles raised and fangs bared, refusing to let the demon anywhere near Selena, even as the half-grown pup limped, even as the blood pooled from the wound in her right hind leg. Kaol had all of two heartbeats to size up the monster, to take in every detail, to mark his surroundings.
Go!
He snarled at Dorian before launching himself at the creature. Chapter 49. She didn't remember anything after the first two swings of her sword, only that she'd suddenly seen Fleetfoot come flying at the creature. The sight had distracted her enough for the demon to get past her guard, its long white fingers grabbing her by the hair and slamming her head into the wall. Then darkness. She wondered whether she'd died and awoken in hell as she opened her eyes to a pulsing headache. And the sight of Kaol, circling the pale demon, blood dripping from both of them. And then there were cool hands on her head, on her neck, and Dorian crouching in front of her as he said,
Selena.
She struggled to her feet, her head aching even more. She had to help Kaol, had to. She heard a rip of clothing and a yelp of pain, and she looked at Kaol in time to see him grasp the cut on his shoulder, inflicted by those filthy, jagged nails. The creature roared, its overlong jaw gleaming with saliva, and it lunged again for the captain. Selena tried to move, but she wasn't fast enough. But Dorian was. Something invisible slammed into the creature, sending it flying into the wall with a crunch. Gods, Dorian didn't just have magic. He had raw magic, the rarest and deadliest kind. Sheer, undiluted power, capable of being shaped into whatever form the wielder desired. The creature crumpled but instantly got up, whirling toward her and Dorian. The prince just stood there, hand outstretched. The milky blue eyes were ravenous now. Through the portal, Selena heard the rocky earth crunching beneath more pairs of bare, pale feet. Archer's chanting grew louder. Kaol attacked the thing again. It surged toward him just as his sword struck, swiping with those long fingers, forcing the captain to dart back. She grabbed Dorian.
We have to close it. The portal should close on its own eventually, but... But the longer it's open, the greater threat of more coming through before it does.
How?
I don't know, I... Her head spun so badly, her knees wobbled. But she turned to Archer, who stood across the hall, separated from them by the pacing creature.
Give me the book! Kaol wounded the demon across its abdomen with a sure, deft stroke, but it didn't slow down. Even from a few feet away, the tang of the dark blood reached her nose. Selena watched Archer take it all in, his eyes wide, panicked beyond reason. and then he sprinted down the hall, taking with him the book and any hope of shutting the portal. Dorian couldn't move fast enough to stop the handsome man from fleeing with the book in his hands, and he didn't dare with that demon between them. Selena, her forehead bleeding, made a lunge for him, but the man was too fast. Her eyes kept darting to Kaol, who was keeping the thing distracted. Dorian knew without being told that she didn't want to leave the captain.
"I'll go," he began.
"No, he's dangerous, and these tunnels are a labyrinth," she panted. Kaol and the creature circled each other, the thing slowly backing toward the portal entrance. "I can't close it without that book," she moaned. "There are more books upstairs, but I..."
"Then we flee,"
Dorian breathed, grabbing her by the elbow.
"We flee and try to get to those books."
He dragged her with him, not daring to take his eyes off Kaol or the creature. She swayed in his grasp. The wound to her head must be as bad as it looked. Something was glowing at her throat. The amulet she'd told him was just a cheap replica, shining like a tiny blue star.
"Go,"
Kaol told them, staring down the thing in front of him.
"Now."
She stumbled, tugging toward Kaol, but Dorian pulled her back.
"No,"
she got out, but the wound to her head made her sag in Dorian's grip. As if realizing that she'd be a hindrance to Kaol, she stopped fighting Dorian as he hauled her toward the stairs. Kaol knew he couldn't win this fight. His best option was to flee with them, to guard the way until they could get to that stone door far, far above, and lock the creature down here. But he wasn't sure he'd even make it to the stairs. The creature thwarted his attack so easily it seemed to have an uncanny intelligence. At least Selena and Dorian had reached the stairs. He could accept his end if it meant they could escape. He could embrace the darkness when it came. The creature paused just long enough for Kaol to gain a few more feet of distance. He backed toward the bottom step. But then she started shouting, the same word again and again as Dorian tried to keep dragging her up the stairs. "Fleetfoot." Kaol looked. In a dark shadow by the wall, Fleetfoot had been left behind, her leg too injured to run. The creature looked too. And there was nothing he could do, absolutely nothing, as the creature whirled, grabbed Fleetfoot by her injured hind leg, and dragged her through the portal with it. And there was nothing he could do, he realized, except run. Selena's scream was still echoing through the passageway as Kaol leapt off the stairs and hurtled through the misty portal after Fleetfoot. If she had thought she'd known fear and pain before, it was nothing compared to what went through her when Kaol ran through the portal after Fleetfoot. Dorian didn't see her coming as she whirled, slamming his head into the stone wall hard enough that he crumpled to the steps, freeing her from his grip. But she didn't care about Dorian, didn't care about anything except Fleetfoot and Kaol as she sprinted down those few stairs and across the hall. She had to get them out, get them back before the portal shut forever. She was through in a heartbeat. And when she saw Kaol shielding Fleetfoot with nothing but his bare hands, his discarded sword snapped in two by the demon who hovered over them, she didn't think twice before she unleashed the monster inside herself. From the corner of his eye, Kaol saw her coming, the ancient sword in her hands and her face set with feral rage. The moment she burst through the portal, something changed. It was like a fog vanished from her face, her features sharpening, her steps becoming longer and more graceful. And then her ears shifted into delicate points. The creature, sensing it was about to lose its prey, made a final lunge for Kaol. It was blasted away by a wall of blue flame. The fire vanished to reveal the creature slamming into the ground, flipping again and again. It was on its feet before it finished rolling, whirling toward Selena in the same move. She was between them now, sword raised. She roared, revealing elongated canines, and the sound was unlike anything he'd ever heard. There was nothing human in it. Because she wasn't human, Kaol realized, gaping up at her from where he still crouched over Fleetfoot. No, she wasn't human at all. Selena was Fae. Chapter 50. She knew the shift had happened because it hurt like hell. A flash of blinding pain as her features ripped free of the hold that hid them. The demon lunged, and she plummeted into the well of power that was suddenly overflowing inside of her. Magic, savage and unforgiving, erupted out of her, punching into the creature and sending it flying. Flame. Years ago, her power had always manifested as some form of fire. She could smell everything, see everything. Her heightened senses pulled her attention every which way, telling her that this world was wrong, and she needed to get out now. But she wouldn't get out, not until Kaol and Fleetfoot made it to safety. The creature stopped rolling, on its feet in an instant, and Selena put herself between it and Kaol. The demon sniffed at her, sinking onto its haunches. She lifted Damaris and bellowed her challenge. From far off in the mist, roars answered. One of them came from the thing in front of her. She looked at Kaol, still crouched over Fleetfoot, and bared her teeth, canines glistening in the gray light. Kaol was staring up at her. She could smell his terror and his awe, smell his blood, so human and ordinary. The magic welled up more and more and more, uncontrollable and ancient and burning. Run, she snarled, more a plea than a command, because the magic was a living thing, and it wanted out, and she was just as likely to hurt him as she was to hurt the creature, because that portal might close at any moment and seal them here forever. She didn't wait to see what Kaol did. The creature rushed for her, a blur of withered white flesh. She ran toward it, flinging her immortal power like a phantom punch. It shot out in a blue burst of wildfire, but the creature dodged it, and the next blow, and the next. Selena swung Damaris, and the creature ducked before jumping back a few paces. The roars in the distance were getting closer. Crunching rock sounded behind her, and she knew Kaol was making for the portal. The demon began pacing. Then the crunching stopped. That meant Kaol was in the passageway again. He must have carried Fleetfoot with him. He was safe. Safe. This thing was too smart, too fast, and too strong despite its gangly limbs. And if others were coming, if more got through the portal before it closed... Her magic was building again, the spring deeper now. Selena gauged the distance between them as she backed toward the portal. She had little control over the power, but she did have a sword. A sacred sword made by the Fae, capable of withstanding magic. A conduit. Not giving herself time to think it through, she threw all her raw power into the golden sword. Its blade glowed red hot, its edges crackling with lightning. The creature tensed, as if sensing what she was about to do, and she lifted the sword over her head. With a battle cry that shattered through the mists, Selena plunged Damaris into the earth. The ground cracked toward the demon, a burning web of lines and fissures. And then the ground between them began to collapse, foot by foot, until the creature was sprinting away. Soon there was just a small lip of land surrounding Selena, backed by the open portal, and an ever-growing chasm before her. She wrenched Damaris from the broken earth. She knew she had to get out, now. But before she could move, before she could get to the portal, the magic rippled, so violently that she sagged to her knees. Pain flashed, and she shifted back into her clumsy, frail, mortal body. And then there were strong hands under her shoulders, hands she knew so well, dragging her back through the portal and into Aurelia, where her magic was snuffed out like a candle. Dorian came to just in time to see Kaol hauling Selena back through the portal. She was conscious, but was a dead weight in the captain's arms as he dragged her across the ground. Once they were over the border, he dropped her as though she were made of flame, and Selena lay panting on the stones. What had happened? There had been a land of rock beyond the portal, and now... Now there was nothing but a small ledge and a massive crater. The pale creature was gone. Selena pushed herself up onto her elbows, her limbs wobbling. Dorian's head ached, but he managed to walk to them. He'd been dragging her one moment, and then... Then she'd knocked him out. Why?
Close it, Kaol was saying.